It's time for the Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone Show on ESPN 94.7. Call the show now at 330-744-0947. Now, here are your hosts, Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone.
And not just us today,
not
Fantone.
Not just us.
Your former neighbor is
here
today.
That's right, next door neighbor.
Wow.
Always kept his yard nice and everything.
Unlike you, huh? A bunch of weeds, dandelions.
I had it all going on.
Speaking of that, those beautiful yellow flowers in the parking lot.
Yes.
I almost was going to pick a bouquet and bring it up to you, but I thought, it looks so nice outside.
Yeah. This is the legend. You know this voice. Bob Popa, long time WHOT. Bobby, welcome to our show.
Good to have you here,
it's wonderful to be here. And I've been listening to you guys last week or so and stuff, and very enjoyable show.
Thank you very much.
Good, something to talk sports and Youngstown. And
yep.
This is awesome.
It's fun. It's an old throwback show. And, you know, honestly, I think there was a void for this in the Valley.
Yeah.
With the syndication, the automation, Bobby, and we're definitely going to talk to you about this. Radio has changed. From the days when you worked, it was so much fun. You went back before either one of us.
Yeah.
So you got to live what I call the glory days of radio, as compared to now, certainly.
You know what? I grew up listening to radio around here. Of course, PIC was big. WHOT was big. And I remember listening to Johnny Kay in the morning.
Yes.
And then George Berry did middays. Dick Thompson was the program director. Boots Bell in the afternoon.
Right.
Alan Scott, who I got to know a little bit toward the end of my high school days, and got to go over there and do a thing on the air with him since I was going to go to broadcasting school. And I look at Hot 101 from WHOT, and it was like we were the next generation, like, you know, Star
right.
Trek and Star Trek.
Right.
It was like WHOT and then Hot 101, the second generation. And we did have a wonderful run, without a doubt.
Pope, I always say that if there's one thing, you know, and I'm proud of my career. I'm proud of the variety. I'm proud of the places I've worked and everything. If there was one, like, regret on my resume, it's I never got to work with you guys directly.
Yeah.
Now, the best I could do when, you know, we all kind of merged together is worked across the hall from AC and Kelly for a number of years with Scott at Y103. But so I got to know them a lot better.
Right.
And spent a whole weekend at morning show boot camp in New Orleans with those guys. But what you guys did in working at that iconic station was definitely different. It was the go-to place. If you didn't listen to Hot 101, you weren't cool.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember when we changed format, we got death threats. We had somebody send a letter in, return the wizard WSRD to 101.1, and it's signed in blood. It just, you know.
Are
people,
you serious?
Wow. Well, it was such a. We went from Michael Stanley Band, Bruce Springsteen,
yeah.
Led Zeppelin to Culture Club and Michael Jackson. When we started with the rotation of about the hottest songs about every other 2 hours and that, I remember it was Karma Chameleon and Thriller, if you can imagine. So that was kind of a hill to climb.
Oh, my God. Yeah, because the Wizard was so big. And then, you know, because HOT was what? You guys are 1330 out of Camel.
And
then, like he's talking about, the Wizard was so popular and everything. Was Thomas John and Jerry Starr and Mark French walking around thinking, oh, my God, I'm sorry we got you guys in trouble?
Well, you know what? Because of the mills closing at that time, HOT, the AM 1330, outsold everybody in the market. I mean, that was where people paid money for their advertising and that. And when that started to decline, they had to do something. So they took, they lifted WHOT and put it on Hot 101.
Yeah.
It was, you know, AC. It was before Kelly was there. I think she was doing some midnights and then she moved to mornings. But AC McCullough and then Dick Thompson, Mark French, me, and Smoke and Bill.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk to you about all these great personalities and everything. But I got contacted about this. And I had, like I said, I got to work across the hall from him. But what he meant to me, AC McCullough passed away only a couple of years ago. What were your immediate thoughts? I bet a flood of memories came back to you.
I did. Ace was such a good guy. We kind of worked opposite because he was morning and I was afternoon. I didn't see him a lot, but a lot of station functions or remotes and stuff. And so I got to know him really well and stuff. He was a very good man. He just was a really good dude.
And the thing is, like, and I'm not playing a race card or anything. A lot of people didn't know that AC was a black gentleman for a long time. They thought he was a white dude.
Because of his voice.
Yeah. Just the way he, you know, projected himself on the air and everything.
Yeah.
And he was a big Browns fan.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And, you know, you went to school, you know, AC in the morning, Hall 101, you know, time to get a move on and everything. But that's interesting about that transition from the Wizard and everything. And you had all those hardcore classic rock. Mm-hmm. AOR, album-oriented rock fans out there, and now you're playing top 40 music, man. Yeah. And you guys had to experience the wrath of that.
Yeah, we really,
really
did.
Difficult.
But it was something that they had to do because as good as The Wizard was, and it was very enjoyable and great music and that, but it didn't sell. In other words, there weren't any commercials on it.
Wow.
So that's the reason why they put HOT on the FM.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Bob. Okay, you're a radio aficionado. Why then did The Wolf come along and do the classic rock format like CD, like The Wizard?
Yeah.
And then eventually Y103 became like the rock giant.
Yeah.
How come it worked for them? Was it a time when they just weren't ready for that? It hadn't aged enough?
It might have been. Yeah, I think that's good. That's a good analogy, John. I really think that it probably it wasn't its time yet. But the Wizard fans, they were diehard. I mean, they were. Yeah, you took the radio station.
Blood. Yeah, that's
you took our radio station away. You know,
that's right, man.
So that was a very tough time. In fact, my first marriage, my father-in-law had passed away of cancer at that time, and we made that. It was a real downtime in my life, that's for sure. So, but we bounce back.
And we got the great Bob Pope in here, WHOT, longtime radio person. Pope, where did it all start for you? Where'd you begin?
I was going to go into that. I got interested in radio. I originally wanted to be a play-by-play man.
Oh, wow.
Okay? And I used to listen to, Jimmy Dudley and Bob Neal doing the Indians. You know. Ron, you and I are about the same age.
Yeah, about the same age.
75.
Yeah. 70, I'll be. Yeah,
I just turned 75 month. About a month ago.
Oh, my God. Look at you two brothers.
Happy birthday,
Bob. We're five
there.
Away from me. I heard you guys talking about it.
Yeah, I got five.
Hey, Lou Christie
passed
away at age 82. You guys got about 7 years left. Just keep that in mind.
I really like Lou, too.
I did, too.
My condolences to you. I know you were pretty good friends with him.
I was, and I got to interview him in 95, and I was actually going to try to get him on the show again.
Yeah.
Darn. But anyway, go back.
So I used to listen to the Indians games. I had the transistor radio with a one-earphone, and I listened to that. I said, boy, I want to do that. So I, during high school and that, I wanted to do that. So I'd heard about a broadcast school in Columbus, Ohio called Career Academy.
Yeah.
It was a four-month course.
Yeah.
And so when I graduated from Brookfield in 68, I worked like a General American, good old GA, right down the street from me in Majorie. And then I started radio school, and I come out. And my first job actually was at WGRP in Greenville.
Greenville, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I did news and that. And then I went from there. And then my first radio job was 1969 as a DJ.
Wow.
Was weekends at WFAR. And I always remember the first song that I ever played as a DJ officially was Crystal Blue Persuasion.
Oh, Tommy James and the Shondells,
I was going to ask you this, Ron, since we're the same age. Do you remember in our teen years, like 15, 16, do you remember the dances they used to have at the American Legion?
Yes, absolutely.
They called them the Legion dances.
Yes, Legion dance.
First act I've ever seen in my life. You could have been there that night, too. I remember seeing Tommy James and the Shondells played at that American Legion dance in Sharon on State Street. And I think it was like $3 to get in.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Amazing.
Oh, my God.
That was the first one that I remember.
And then you have like all these local bands. And, you know, they talk about all the venues, the Idora Park Ballroom, Idora Park at the ball field, the Freakout, the Apartment.
Yeah.
You hear about all the, you know, and Jack Riblett, Youngstown radio historian for local rock artists, always talks about the Haunted House. And
there
were so many great places to go check out bands. We've had Ting Markulin from the Human Beings on. We've had Phil Keggy, Dan Pacquiao, John Safer from Glassheart, Patsy Palumbo's been on, Gustafson from Pooba, Jimmy Gustafson's been on our show, and Frankie Sesic from Blue Ash.
I missed all that era.
Yeah.
I moved down south because I had a best friend who had taught me radio when I was in the Army, had good job down in Shreveport, Louisiana. And he said, come on down, you can live with me, and we'll find you a gig. I was sending tapes out all over the country and working a little part-time at the radio station and that. And I ended up in Shreveport. So I was there from like 72 to 78. So that's 6 years. All those great bands like Glasshopper, I missed all them because I was in Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Jimmy Clanton was on our show. He's from that. He said that's how you have to say
it.
You got to
call it Louisiana.
Yeah. Louisiana.
Yeah. Actually, it's Louisiana.
Yeah.
Because it's after
Louisiana,
King Louis.
Yeah.
King Louisiana. Yeah. But everybody says Louisiana. Yeah. I even do too. Yeah. So
we have Bob Popa with us. We're going to talk about his legendary career. I'm enjoying because I haven't seen Pope in a long, long time. And I want to take a second right here now and tell you thank you for the influence and what you meant to me. I'm a teenager in school. And I'm listening to this cat on the radio, all these guys.
Yeah.
Pope was one of the mainstays and one of those great voices and great personalities. And you inspired me to go on to my own career. So
thank you.
Thank you. You came before me.
Thanks a lot for that.
Absolutely.
My pleasure.
So, WHOT, you're in Shreveport, Louisiana. You get back up here and you run into Dick Thompson, right?
Yes. Yeah. I actually worked part-time at WNIO. And they had this hotshot guy from Cleveland who came down there as the program director. And I called one day because I heard there was a staff meeting. And being a part-timer, even if I worked one day a week, I wanted to be part of the staff. And usually a program director loved that. Well, he evidently had a bad day that day. And he says, no, you don't need to come. In fact, you don't need to come in anymore. And he hung up and fired me over the phone for wanting to come into a staff meeting.
Wow.
Yeah, that was kind of a downer. Then I went over and saw Dick Thompson, and Dick had said, boy, he said, if you had come here earlier, he says, you know, I'd have hired you before. It was Joey Macy was a gal who was on Afternoon Drive.
Okay.
And that. So radio people, or even in any job, if you're looking for a job, go to the best place first.
Yeah.
A lot of times, I'm not good enough for that. Yeah, I was good enough for that.
Yeah.
Because Dick Thompson would have hired me. He told me that.
Wow.
So, shoot for the moon. Yeah. Go for the best job that you can find. And then just, you know, whatever happens.
We shot for the moon, wound up here.
Yeah.
What the hell happened?
Yeah. And they can moon people
Carl,
and you can't see them.
That. We're sorry you had to hear that, bud. We're sorry you had to hear that.
My old buddy, the owner here, I was so...
And Bloom go back, though.
Yeah, we do. We work together, Cumulus. And, when I heard that he had bought the radio stations, I was just so happy for him.
He's such a good guy.
Yes, he is.
He's a good guy.
Yes, he is. Super good guy.
And Fantone and you have crossed paths. You guys were neighbors, in fact.
Right.
Yeah.
In Majorie.
In Majorie, yeah.
Moved my family to Majorie when I became program director at PIC.
And,
Charlie Ring came over the house, and he wired my phone system up in the house.
Did he?
Where I could page.
Wow.
I could page, you know, people.
Yeah.
It would ring back one ring, and that meant somebody was answering me. But
you
I
were feeling pretty important back then, weren't
I was,
you, Ron?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
were a big deal.
I was. My own phone system.
That's
but Charlie
class,
Ring was impressive.
Stuff, yeah.
Charlie was impressive, yeah.
Popper, we lost DT a number of years ago, too. I was blessed. I did a... when I was at 93, Oldies 93, I did a Legends of Youngstown Radio. I don't know if I reached out to you or not. I should have. But we had Dan Ryan on, who had done radio back in the 60s.
Yeah.
WBBW. Dancing Dan Ryan or something, I think he called
himself. The original talk show host. Yeah. I mean, he was the voice.
Well,
he was the first one.
But he was so curt. And I said... he goes, well, Johnny, this is just how what he said to me. He goes, well, Johnny, unlike being a DJ and just playing some records, I do talk radio, and I actually have to put research and time into that sort of thing. Then I'm like, I'm sorry to be little.
Shot a hole in your show prep, didn't you?
So, the end of that.
Sorry I played music.
But we had Jeff Kelly on, who's a longtime friend
Jeff
of yours.
And I have worked together.
And Jeff's been on this program. Smoking Bill Cannon was on there.
Passed away, what about 15.
Yeah.
15 years ago.
2015.
Okay.
He was
10 years.
Because, one, I listened to him as a kid. And, two, I met him when he was running Z96 after his ouster from, Hot 101. And then I took Smoke with me to Y103. And he established another career. He became one of my great friends. All the
Bike
Nights.
Yeah.
and all of the things that he did, and he just had this image bigger than life. But back then with you guys, it was like the Smoke and Coke countdown. Ooh, ah, with smoke and everything.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
That was like a big thing, though.
It was real popular. He had a tremendous audience at night.
And really then did. If you ever walked in a studio, every line would be on hold, and they were all girls. We call them smokeheads. I don't think he paid attention to the show. He was more interested in talking to five women every day.
There you go.
Balancing it. Absolutely. You want to take a break?
Sure.
We've got the great Bob Popa, longtime WHOT personality with us. It is Thursday. Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone back with more of the Pope after this. We're back, and I could talk to this guy for days. Bob Popa, longtime WHOT radio personality, who worked at WHOT from 1980 through 1996.
Yeah, 16 years.
Yeah, and you ended up with your old buddy Jeff Kelly down at Oldies 93 WBBG, like I did.
Remember, it used to be a radio station could have an AM and an FM, owner. That's all you could have. Then they went to duopolies, where you could buy two.
Right.
So we went from WHOT and Hot 101 to Oldies 93 and WBBW. So we had those four. So they brought some other people in. They put Johnny Hartwell on my shift on afternoons, and I moved to Oldies 93 in the afternoon.
Wow.
Which fit perfectly with my age.
Exactly.
And I was at Oldies 93, and then it was 106.1. And
right.
With all the changes and ownership.
Connoisseur to Cumulus, and at least at that cluster of radio stations. And, of course, you had iHeart, which eventually became our Clear Channel, which eventually became iHeart. Yeah. So a lot of that. I thought it ruined the radio industry because I think from our perspective and DJs and personalities and stuff, we weren't able to cross the street anymore and get a job. If you burn one, you burned eight.
Yeah, it's a true. Yeah, that's it. So, and everything is just like, this is a rarity, a three-hour live show in the middle of the day, mornings to early afternoon, which is wonderful.
Thank you, Pope.
Yeah.
And look at even at 570, Dan Rivers cut loose, and it's Ron Verb's a lone survivor, and who knows what his status is going forward.
He's the only one live now.
Yeah, and me and Fantone.
We're the only ones live here.
That's it. Yeah. Wow. I mean, they have live personalities still on shows. You got Doug and Marianne at K105, and Kelly's still carrying on at WHOT, but they're corporate control. They don't have the freedom.
Yeah.
And like, this is a talk show format, so I could do whatever the heck I want on here.
Exactly.
So I'm doing music. Personalities,
jokes, humor.
We do enough sports, to satisfy the people that the palate of the people that want to hear that. But we're going to do so much more, and having people on like you is a prime example of that.
I don't know if I mentioned this, but a couple of weeks ago, I had my wisdom teeth out.
Oh wow!
You know, my
that's painful.
IQ went down 10 points. I was like,
here we go. Dad jokes are going to come out.
If I were to ask, I know I should have put a drum roll in there. Pope, if I were to ask you from some memories of your days at WHOT that you'll never forget, is there a memory or two that kind of comes up? It's like, wow. Or maybe it's a celebrity you met. Maybe it's something that happened on the air. Maybe it's a snafu.
We just had a lot of fun. You know, just the staff was great. You know, just working with those people and that. The spring things were excellent. Go out to Idora Park.
Yeah, absolutely.
And see Michael Stanley Band. Yep. I remember the year we had Michael Stanley Band. And then right after that, they came out with He Can't Love You.
Oh, wow.
And that. And then we wanted to have him back the next year, and they said it'd be $25,000.
Oh, my God.
So,
we got to hit now.
There we go.
We understand.
Thank you from the album Heartland and EMI America.
Yes.
It's like,
really.
And working with the Belkin family. That's what happens.
That's what happens, man.
Yep.
And I just wanted to tell you, we had also tried to schedule Thomas John on there, and he had some medical things that he needed to attend to, and we'll have him. And we're going to, it'll be interesting because you talked about the transition from the Wizard to, what year was that when they switched? 85, 84?
I think it was.
Okay, and you had to put up with all that wrath. And I want to hear from his end of it because he was involved with both stations, but he was a prominent figure on the Wizard with the 4 o'clock high and such things like that.
Yeah, TJ finally retired a couple of years ago, I think.
Boy, he stayed in radio forever,
didn't he? He did stay a long time,
Is it
so,
true?
Bob, how long did you stay? I'm sorry, John.
No,
how long did you stay there in Majorie?
Let's see here. That was my parents' house I was living at the time. And then I moved to Sharon. I lived in Hermitage and got remarried. And I'm in Poland now. I live in Poland now. So, but yeah, Majorie's my hometown.
Yeah.
And I graduated from Brookfield High School.
Yeah.
One of the thrills of my life I graduated from Brookfield in 1968 and went through radio school and jobs and went down to Louisiana and moved back. When I moved back in 78, mm-hmm. Brookfield won the state championship.
John Del Cerrone.
Yeah, John Del Cerrone.
Yep.
And Eddie Allmark, Marcus Merrick.
Merrick, Ohio State legend.
Johnny Lott.
Yeah.
I never got a chance to go to a game. I never went to one game, but when they won the state championship.
And Pope, I lived in Brookfield, some of the happiest days of my life in the early 90s. We lived on Valley View Drive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Brookfield, this is the advantage of doing a local show. There was no better store. And if you wanted football pair, I grew up a Raiders fan, okay, so it was tough to find stuff. But you can go to the old Valley View department store and find.
Yep.
Was that the greatest store?
It was the greatest store, yeah.
It was just awesome.
It was huge, too, man.
Yeah. But they had NFL stuff you couldn't get anywhere else.
Yeah. Treasure Island did good, but Valley View was the store. Yeah, they had everything, so they just did. Yeah.
And I live right, and my neighbors were the Carpenters, who I'm sure you're familiar with the Carpenter, Rudy and those
Rudy
guys.
Rudy and, yeah.
Absolutely amazing. Those were some of the greatest times of my life.
I'm sure.
Valley View Drive was a nice area, too.
Yes.
We'd put the kids in baskets and stuff, and Jane and I would bike them around a really nice neighborhood. Yeah.
You know what I remember about Valley View? Mm-hmm. I think it was a nickel or something like that for the orange drink. They did their own orange drink.
Yeah,
it was like a little maybe pint coupe thing. And
I remember those, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That was good.
Let's
that
go Valley
really
Viewing.
Good. Yeah.
Let's go Valley Viewing.
Hey, I got a couple of notes here about Pope. Cindy Lou, she goes, I love the Pope. How about that, Pope?
Oh,
you got fans out of
you. Thank you.
And, talking about this Pope or Pope
this Pope.
Oh.
And Paulie Paul Fitch, I still have my wizard suspenders. Let Pope know about that.
Oh, yeah, WSRD suspenders.
they were giving out suspenders?
Yeah. They're cool.
They're here next week.
Wow. They were red and black like your shirt.
Oh,
yeah,
geez.
They were red and black.
Absolutely amazing. Bob Popa, and then, so why'd you get out of radio? Was it you just lost the thirst for it?
Wasn't my choice.
Wow.
You got
the pink slip.
Yeah, I did.
After all you've done.
Yep.
Were you bitter?
No, but I was out of work for a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before I got another job. And it proved that God has a sense of humor. I went from being a DJ to a CO. I was at a corrections officer at the private prison
in
Northeast Ohio Correctional Center in Youngstown.
I bet that was lovely.
That was quite a transition. That was quite a transition from there. So, but I guess I was blessed. I got laid off, and I remember Scott came over and told me, Popey says, you know, we're going to have to lay you off. They had to cut somebody, and that's how it is with corporate ownership. They don't know Bob Popa from Ron Fontaine or Johnny B or whatever. They don't even know. They just maybe look at what you're making, what you do,
and
cut you.
And they cut you off.
And they don't care. They don't care about performance.
It's all bottom line.
I lost my job in February of 2009.
Wow.
And that never got another job until May of 2010. So I was out pretty close to over a year. I was out. So, but after that, I worked at the prison and stuff. And I've been retired for about 8 years now, and I'm doing a lot of stuff for God. You know, I've been the
you've gotten very spiritual and religious, which is a good thing.
Yes, I've been the MC for the men's rally in the Valley for 16 years now,
mm-hmm.
and we had a great rally
mm-hmm.
In May. We had Brian Head from Korn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was there. Boy, he has a testimony. You know, how he went from drugs, you know, to rock and roll, drugs, women, to God.
Wow.
You know, to Jesus.
Yeah.
And so he had quite a testimony. So.
And, you know, not to put the show on a down note, but this is something I'd like to share with you. One thing that changed your life, you lost your wife. That was very difficult transition for you
it's
to go through.
It's been about 20 months now. Next week will be 20 months.
Wow.
So,
do you, like Ron lost his daughter. I lost my sister. I lost my mom, my dad, my grandma and everything. But once it hits you, you never forget. And you got to kind of go on.
Yeah.
But it's not so easy behind the scenes to have that take place.
There's a lot of alone time. I'll sit there. Thank God for my puppy dog, Cooper. Yeah, he's kind of my rock now. He hangs out with me, and I have somebody in there with me. But it's I've gone to grief share. We have grief share classes at our church And so I've gone to those and belong to a life group, like a Bible study and that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to surround yourself with people. You know, my daughter and I have become super close. My son and I are closer now than we've ever been. So you do need that. Don't try to do it yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you need someone to that. But knowing the fact that there were Christians and there were Jesus makes it all worthwhile, and I plan on seeing them again.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And Ron, I know you did. It changed you forever. And it just the way you view life. A lot of things you took for granted in the past, you no longer do so.
Yeah, lose a child is a whole different level.
Yeah.
That's another thing. There's nothing in the world like it. There's no way you ever get over it. I just honor Jennifer's memory. And I'll see her again. I know. And I know she's around me. And she helps me, still helps me out with things. But it's something that there are just no words for it, for the pain.
About 11 months before Brenda passed away, we lost our son.
Oh, I'm so
sorry. I lost a son, too. Not adopted or anything like that, but the whole time that I was married to her, you know, I was his dad, and
yep.
He went through lymphoma and beat that, then got leukemia and was sick a year and a half and passed away at the age of 48.
Wow.
So,
oh, my God.
So yeah. There's been a lot of grief lately. It's just a lot of people I've known who've passed away, and it's hard, but, you know, you have to go on. And that's the thing that drives me. I want to go on.
And when you get older, too, you face more of that.
Yeah.
You know, you face it all the time.
It's natural because of our age. Exactly right.
And someone's passing all the time. And, every day when I come in here, whether it's national or local, I swear John has somebody, some sad news or somebody.
Yeah.
Like today was Lou Christie. And, you know, things just, at this age, things happen.
A week ago, Sly Stone.
Yeah. Sly Stone. How about that?
Sly Stone, yeah.
That's why, we were fortunate. We had Vito Pacone on from the Elegance, little star fame from the 50s. Also was in the movie Goodfellas. We had Jimmy Clanton on. Yeah. It was a teen idol.
Oh, wow.
Jimmy's in his 80s. And Peggy Santillia Davidson, now Ricker, with the lead singer of the Angels, my boyfriend's back. I say get them while you can. And what I mean by that is they're still alive, and you're still privileged and honored to get an opportunity to speak to these guys. And it was a different time. It was a funner time. And I love hearing about being on Hullabaloo and Shindig and Ed Sullivan and all those great shows.
Stories. Shindig,
stories. Yeah, just tremendous.
Yeah.
And it was a better time for music, too. Pope, I think you'll agree with me if I tell you.
Yep.
We always debate what was the best, most impactful music generation. I say the 1960s.
Without a doubt.
I say because of British Invasion, Motown, you had garage rock, psych rock started to break it.
Yep.
All those groups, the Beatles, Dave Clark Five, Searchers, Rolling Stones, Moody Blues, my God.
Yeah.
And I'm not even counting all the Motown under Berry Gordy.
We were on the radio one time, and there was a gentleman on with us, and he was saying 70s.
Yeah, 70s.
60s.
70s was a great decade.
It was. But I said, but
soul and disco is what I said, in the arena rock.
Yeah, I said 70s were great, but they don't compare, and I'm going down all the Motown and everything, British Invasion.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said it.
You agree with that, Pope?
1960s? 100%.
Yeah, 60s.
60s were definitely the best.
Yep.
Yeah. The different genres were amazing.
So artists and everything, did you get a chance to do some interviews with some of the prominent artists?
I was just thinking about that when you were talking. In Louisiana, I got a chance to interview, and I have it on tape somewhere, reel to reel. Fats Domino.
No kidding.
Yeah, that was cool.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, Fats Domino.
I found my thrill.
Yep.
I had Chubby Checker in the Spirit of the Valley.
Did you?
Yeah, we were doing a Valley View supermarket thing or whatever, and he was out there making an appearance and stuff. And he came in and that smelled like an open wine bottle, man. Chubby Checker was twisting. Yeah, he was.
You know the thing about him? He was bitter about his exclusion from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He finally got in, but he's like, I don't care if I'm in the hall or not.
Right.
And he finally got in.
Nice guy, though. Not really nice guy.
The twist. Number one in both 1960 and 62 in this country, which is an extraordinary feat. Hey, we're going to take a break. We're going to continue on.
Okay.
Bobby, can you stick with us?
Absolutely.
A couple more? I'm enjoying this. Bob Popa, longtime WHOT radio legend with Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone on a Thursday coming up at 12 noon. We'll go out to Atlanta. We'll have Austin Town legend Chris C.D. Davis with us. Stay with our program. You can give us a call, 330-744-0947 as well. We'll be back after these messages.
ESPN 94.7, it's a Thursday morning. Ron Fantone, Mr. Sports, and we got a very special guest with us today, Bob Pope.
My pleasure. Yeah. The legendary Pope in the house. Yes, woo! We should form a super station, the three of us.
Yeah,
let's do it. And, you know, we'll call it WHOT2.
Yeah, this is nothing but a stepping stone for us anyway. So, we're trying to move on.
Bob, I ask you this, because for me, at Y103, after a long, long run, it finally happened to me. We talked about the dangers of corporations and Cumulus, and I saw the writing on the wall. They were going to L.A., New York, Chicago, Big Mark, Boston.
Yeah.
And they were cut. And I knew when I got to Youngstown. I'd been here. I'd had tenure. I was making a few dollars. I wasn't rich by any, you know, measure of anyone's imagination. But sure enough, it happened. And I was a little bit bitter about it. I just felt like I was jolted. And supposedly, at the time, somebody went to management down in Cumulus, which was situated in Atlanta, and asked them for severance pay for me, which I thought would have been nice, given, I think, 25 grand for 25 years. And they denied it.
Oh.
And so all I got was 6 months unemployment after all the things that I did. I did their music. You know, I was writing a morning show. I did afternoon drive for
Jumped
them.
Jumped out of planes. You know,
yeah, I did all kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah. Put my life on. I devoted my life to that radio station. But denied me severance. These are multi-millionaire people. And so it leaves a bitter taste in your mouth. Then I had to go out, and it's like you couldn't get a radio job.
No.
And Pope, you know about this.
Yeah.
I mean, there were no doors that were open. And it was always, well, we'll see. Mm-hmm. You know, something in West Virginia, maybe. And I didn't want to move all across the country.
No. Yeah.
You know, as I look back on that time, I had to do something. I ended up selling cars.
Oh, I know. You look like you were doing great out there.
I did okay, but Pope, I tell you what, it was so stressful for me. I worked at Greenwood for five great people out there and everything.
Yeah.
And I remember the first great car sales month that I had, manager comes up to me, "Don't you feel great?" And I said, "No." I didn't. Because, you know, the money was good and everything based off commission. Because, and tell me if you agree with me, I said, and I'm not trying to be arrogant here, I could never replace what I did. It was in my heart. I loved entertaining people. I loved going around and having people tell me daily how much they enjoyed listening to me or what I did or how great it was, you know, the show that we were putting on and everything, meeting celebrities, getting on stage, and just having fun and getting paid to do something that you enjoyed. Nothing could ever replace that. It's a different animal. Do you agree with that?
I agree. I think of one date. I remember... It was the first time I asked Brenda out, and the first night I met my stepson Todd and his wife, and that was I introduced Michael Stanley. Mm-hmm. It was Michael Stanley and the Resonators.
Wow!
And they were was it Stambaugh or I can't recall where it was. It was one of the big theaters, but that was really. And I introduced him, and then I sat down in the audience with her and stuff. So, yeah, good memories.
And you know, like I said, though, you just can't replace it. It's in your blood. And I think that's why Fantano and I agreed to come back. One, we wanted to work together, too.
Yeah, we did.
We missed it.
We did.
I had somebody told me a long time ago, and maybe this is good advice, okay, and it applies to all three of us. You guys would not be enjoying it today. Like you remember radio for what it was, not what it's become.
Yes.
You got to do it back in a time when it was actually enjoyable.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that assessment?
Without a doubt. I was so glad to come in here today and see my old buddy, Carl Bloom, who is the owner.
Yep.
You know, and when I read months ago that he had, you know, bought the stations and stuff, I think, good for him. That's just, I mean, that is so very awesome in that. But when I started, especially, I was part-time for maybe 6 months. Then they put me on afternoons in February of 80 on WHOT on 1330 before Hot 101. And I forgot the point I was going to make. It's one of those.
They put you on afternoons.
Put me on afternoons and... The owner was in the station, Bill Fleckenstein.
Okay.
He used to come to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was in the station Monday through Friday, you know, and that was really different when the owner is in. But he always was just so supportive and a great boss. He was the kind of guy that that wrote Christmas bonuses out of his own checking account.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. He did, yeah.
No wonder they had more fun at WHOT.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then, so you graduated in Brookville, what, 68?
68, yeah.
68. So you listened to a lot of local radio growing up. So yep. WHOT for you was probably the heritage station you wanted to work for.
It was.
Dick Biondi had worked there.
Yeah.
Smoochie Causey.
Yeah.
Jerry Starr.
Yeah. Jerry Starr, too. Yeah, we just lost Jerry Starr about the last 4 or 5
years.
Yeah,
I got a chance to work with Jerry, too. Very different dry sense of humor.
Yes.
But Johnny Kay, Dick Thompson, those guys.
George Berry. Boots Bell.
Yeah, Boots Bell.
I think AC was on the WHOT Hot 101 morning show for 50 years.
That's unbelievable.
Which is unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
To be in radio for 50 years is pretty much unheard of.
Right.
But to be 50 years at one station that was amazing and stuff. But I still look back and I think over all these years, if you look back like, who was the best, who was the most unique, who was the best radio personality ever in Youngstown, I think you got to go to Boots Bell.
And that goes back to that show I did on 93. So we did a survey. We had all those guys. Mike Richards came on with us.
Yeah,
he was down in Texas. Yeah. Michael C. Richards. Boots Bell won in a landslide.
Yeah.
He'll always be the GOAT of Youngstown radio and everything. And I'm sure you had many brushes by with Boots Bell, too.
Not a whole lot, because basically I did, first time I met him, I was going over to see Alan Scott. Alan Scott went on here at 7. And I got there about 6:45. I knocked on the back door. Boots opened the door and said, "Is Alan Scott here?" He says, "No, he's not here yet." And he slammed the door in my face.
Oh, my God. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
My hero. But he, who knows? He might have having a bad day or whatever.
And you guys, like at WHOT, I remember when the FM went on, you guys had one big gimmick, and it kind of started. You had the birthday wheel.
Yes.
The birthday wheel. I mean, who would think spinning a wheel? People went nuts for the birthday wheel.
Yes. Yeah. And I can remember in afternoons, two consistent Fridays that I spun the birthday wheel. And, you got the person, you spin the wheel, and you got May 28th, okay? And people would call in, that's my birthday, okay? Then we had another wheel that we would spin, and if the year came out, they won $5,000.
Yeah. Wow.
And do you know, I had back-to-back two $5,000 winners.
The station want to kill you.
Yes. Yeah, the boss did come up to me, Bill, and he said, kind of go easy on that, huh? Of
course. Oh, my God.
It was, it's total chance. It wasn't rigged or anything like that. It just, you spin the wheel.
Go easy.
What are the odds that their year would come up?
Yeah.
I remember that was a memory I'll never forget.
That is too funny. A message here for Pope, one of the best DJs ever, Rick Allen, working at WQMX.
Oh, yeah.
On air personnel in the 94.9 Akron, Cleveland area.
Yes,
right?
I worked with Rick before, yeah.
Wow.
Good guy.
Look at you.
Yeah, how about
people
that?
Loving you.
Oh, I'm glad they're writing in and listening to the show.
So so Pope yesterday puts on Facebook, and I looked at it. He goes, I'm going back on the radio. And it's outpouring of love because they want to hear from him. Look at you, man. They miss you.
There's a lot of people listening. I got my kids listening and some other people, some of the ones that that did respond to the Facebook.
You need to get back in radio. It's like you do. This is what you wanted, but you're really into the ministry now, though.
Yeah,
that's your heart.
My heart's with the Lord and doing. It's just like I'm going on each and every day and just whatever He wants me to do, I'll do.
Do you say to yourself, look, I had my time, whether people want to consider it a legacy or not. I'm proud of what I did, and I did it a long time, and I did it really well, and I gave it my all.
The way I feel is that I was blessed. I was blessed that, a lot of times you take a look at something that happens and it's maybe not the best thing in the world, and then something good comes out of it.
Yes.
Well, when I got drafted in one of the largest draft calls the country ever had.
Wow.
Vietnam was hot and heavy.
Wow.
And they drafted in September, October, November of 1969, they drafted 60,000 people per month.
Mm.
Per month.
Per month.
Yeah.
And so I got drafted, and I went to basic training, Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Then I went directly to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Mm. And I was there. I was there about a year. And usually when you're in the service a year, you say you're short,
yeah.
Which means you know, you have less time left.
Time's getting short.
Short. And that, and I came down on orders for Korea. It was during Vietnam.
Wow.
So instead, I could have very easily gone to Korea. I did get a 71R20 MOS, military occupational status, which was broadcasting. So I think probably going to radio school and the couple of stations I worked at did help get me that job. But when I was in Korea, I worked with a guy named Randy Hames, who was a big DJ at Kiel, K-E-E-L, in Shreveport, Louisiana. They're 50,000 watt. And Randy took the time and taught me the basics of radio, mm-hmm. how to intro, mm-hmm. and do this. And I attribute him to my radio career being so successful. But, you know, like I said, oh, man, I got drafted. I could go to Vietnam. I could be dead. And then, boom, it gave me my radio career. The basics I learned there, I think, you know, were the foundation of my career.
Boy, what an ironic fate that, yeah. That would launch a radio career for you. Pope, I can't thank you enough, brother. Man, will you come back?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you have fun today?
I had a good time, and I didn't have to clean the house.
Open door for you.
Woo! Thank you, Ron. Pleasure. Bob Pope, all the luck to you guys. You guys are great.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, brother. Mr. Sports and Ron Fanto will review sports. Chris Davis coming up at the top of the hour from Atlanta right after these messages.
ESPN 94.7, a very good morning to you, a Thursday morning. Ron Fantone, Mr. Sports, and our station owner, and our boss, Carl Bloom, with us. Hi, Carl. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you? I'm good. How are you?
A lot of good things going on with our website, I understand, right?
Yeah, ESPN947.com. Go there. You could listen to all of the past interviews from the show.
Oh, that's great.
Including today, Bob Popa?
Yeah, it'll be up there in a little bit.
I'm
actually over there working on it right now.
That is really nice. That's a nice touch.
Well, I don't want to say anything, but, you know, we are bringing some pretty big people to the studio.
You know,
I'm telling you.
We are.
Some great stories, too.
Yeah.
That's just the thing. Every guest has their... And Paulie was telling me about this last night. He goes, everybody has their own story.
Yeah.
It's not all like a cookie cutter same thing.
No.
Like, to me, one of the highlights from Pope's visit here is talking about what it was like, the transition from the ever-popular Wizard 101.1 to having to go on and play Top 40 in Culture Club and Michael Jackson from the classic rock stuff.
Yeah,
that was rough.
Difference here, yeah.
And he got a death letter. They got a death letter written in blood,
signed in blood.
Yeah,
honestly, said, go back to my wizard, man. I will kill you. And much the same way you face death threats when you change from me.
I was just thinking the same thing.
You're gonna get one from me shortly.
That story, Bob's story, sounds awfully familiar.
But we're on location twice next week.
Yes,
and I got a story for you.
Yeah,
Eastbrook at Greenwood Chevrolet. I know you love it. Sean Schweitzer, who you know, sold you a car.
Yep.
He was my mentor. He's the one that taught me sales down there at Greenwood. He said they had a staff meeting today and announced that ESPN 94.7, Batro and Fantone are going to be there next Friday. And we got up and clapped. How about that?
That's nice.
Cool. They're excited for us.
Right. Yeah. Well, I just talked to somebody else you know from the dealership there.
Name?
Maureen.
Oh, Maureen.
Did
you tell her I said it's okay to call her Mo?
Yep, and she'll be calling you.
She'll be calling me.
Nice.
Mo will be calling me.
She will be in touch with you.
Mo.
Mo and Kenny, her husband. Kenny and I played midget football for my dad back in the 70s.
Well,
I have a connection with everybody somehow.
Yeah, it seems like you know everybody.
Is there anybody you don't know?
Is there anybody he doesn't know?
He really does.
Nope. I know like Fantone's whole family.
Everybody.
That's all I need in life. That's all I need in life. Just to know Fantone's whole family. Hey, we have Chris Davis coming up.
Yeah.
CD, we haven't heard from him in a long time. He sold Edgar Greenwood, and at the time I was there, no matter how many cars I sold,
he sold more.
He would always have to beat me. He was so competitive. There was one month, it was unbelievable. We were going at it the last day for the top. There's 30 salesmen, Carl. 30 salesmen. CD would always be number one. I'd be happy to finish top five, and most of the time I did. But I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him this month. I put up, I think I had... he had 23 and a half car sales. Now, let me explain to you what a half means. It's not that you sell half a car. It means you split it with a customer, but you get credit for it as a sale. So he had 23 and a half. I had 23. So I put up two. That puts me at 25. I'm going to get him. You know, we're getting down to the winding end of the day. He stayed. 2 hours after and completed a deal and got me by half car.
That's
how competitive he is.
That's competitive.
I'm like, you just won't let me have that top spot.
You're going to have to bring that up to him.
Because at the time, you would get the privileged parking spot, yeah, which Greg Greenwood left you, which would give you closer access to the door out there on Mahoning Avenue. So, and a good thing for us on Friday when we do that one is again, he'll be late, but it is a short drive. It is a short drive for us. We live in Austin.
Short drive for me.
So good.
Yeah. I'll be there early.
Yeah, you will.
He'll walk in 5 minutes before the show.
You know
again.
He will. He just bebop. I'm here.
JR's. I was there 10 minutes
yeah,
early.
And then not only did he like bebop in like a movie star, and he had sunglasses on indoors, which was really uncool. Bopping in like Jim McMahon from the Bears. He, after like the first break, he's out there like having drinks with people mingling.
Well, I was just gonna say,
I'm like, what the hell?
My girlfriend was there.
He's waving. He's waving at us. Have a nice show, you guys. Get back and like, hey, Ron, we really like the show. We love you. And we're back there working.
There's no bar next week, so
I'm telling you.
Do you think he will show up since there's no bar?
I'll be there. I can be there. It's just the guy you have to ask if he'll be there with no bar. With no bar there, I'll tell you.
There's always a bar after Greenwood.
There's a bar after everything for you.
I will say this. At the time I worked at Greenwood, you did not. You were not. Never allowed to do. Never.
No.
Never crossed my mind. Never wanted anything there.
No.
Even when I'd have lunch, I'd have Coca-Cola and water and everything like that. So that's that. We have Chris Davis coming up in a matter of minutes. Hopefully, we make the connection. I got to call his office out there. He's a big shot now. He's got an office out there. But CD, one of the coolest cats. And I always said, not only do I refer to him as Mr. Austintown, if they had a mayoral election in Austintown, Chris would be the winner. He's that big. All right, we're coming back. Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone, it's our final hour. This show has flown by today. When we return on ESPN 94.7 FM.